What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another life-changing episode today. Going to change your lives. The Jump, ESPN's The Jump, and Rachel Nichols and Scottie Pippen were out at Warriors practice yesterday doing the show. They interviewed a couple of the guys, Steve Kerr, Clay, Sean Livingston. Going to play those for you. Going to break down tonight's game and go over some Jimmy Butler news, I guess you could call it. More like drama. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. It's your boy, Charles T. Hamilton. Another episode here for you today. Warriors taking on the Lakers tonight. But before that, ESPN's The Jump was out at practice yesterday with the guys. It was Scottie Pippen, Rachel Nichols interviewing Clay and Sean. I mean, two of the chillest guys in the NBA, maybe in the world. I'm surprised they even said anything and weren't just there chilling. Scottie Pippen and Steve Kerr, obviously their history. Had a little interview together. Rachel was in on that also. No offense. I would have much rather had Steven Jackson there than Scottie Pippen, personally, every day also. But that's just me, a little editorializing here, being super objective or subjective. But it was all good stuff. So I'm going to play those for you, maybe talk about them a little bit after, and then we'll get to tonight's game and a little bit of Jimmy Butler drama. That's all coming up next on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Going to play this Rachel Nichols, Clay Thompson, Sean Livingston interview. It's pretty good. I mean, it's just Clay and Sean, man. They're real and super chill. But it's pretty good interview. Some funny stuff with Clay. Like I said, I think everything Clay does is funny, and I love it. So here it is, the interview with Rachel Nichols, Clay Thompson, Sean Livingston from The Jump.
Welcome back into The Jump. We are sitting with one Mr. Clay Thompson, Mr. Sean Livingston. Thank you guys for joining us so much. We appreciate it. And look, pretty deep into training camp now, and Steve Kerr has made a point that he wants this season to be fun. He said that last year getting to that title was a bit of a grind and that he wants to inject more fun into the season. Have you felt that yet so far in training camp?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's always fun, especially knowing it's our last year at Oracle. I mean, Steve's been stressing that a lot, and me and Sean have been here for our fifth year together, mine eight, so we're going to try and give our Oakland fans a special time to remember.
Yeah, it feels like forever. I mean, you know, four straight trips to the finals, and then, you know, coming in this year, I think we're all trying to just enjoy the moment, kind of live in it last year in Oakland. And just make the best of it.
I mean, look, most players around the NBA can't totally relate to how a season that ends with another championship wasn't just like a party the whole time.
Yeah.
Can you explain kind of what it is like to be in the middle of it? Because we're here with Scottie Pippen, and he obviously has experienced it too. Your coach has experienced it. But how have you guys experienced it?
Oh, man, well, if you say it like that, you know, it's not that big a drag. I mean, it's not as fresh to me as it was the first time. I think the whole world saw it. I think I partied the whole summer.
Right.
Came back a little lackadaisical. Didn't know how hard it is to do it the second time around. Obviously, we know what happened then. But you just kind of schedule your summer better. You get, you have your fun, but you got in the back of your head knowing the season's coming quick. And it's a 10-month journey, and you got to be ready.
Yeah, you trick yourself out because it's like, you know, obviously nobody wants to hear you complain about going to the finals.
Yeah, you know? I would say that's true.
So it's like, you tell people it's like your summer's short, right? You don't get a chance to really enjoy it the same way. So it's bittersweet, but I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's a lot more sweet. Right, when it is bitter.
Well, let's move on to Clay. How would you describe your new look?
My new look?
Yeah, your new look.
I don't know. Veteran,
hey.
Wise,
hey.
Aged, seasoned.
A little more here, a little more here.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you guys give him a hard time?
I had the same cut for like, I mean, they always give me a hard time. I'm pretty, I'm kind of a butt of jokes on this team, but I take it, I think I just receive it so well, that's why I get a lot of jokes at, thrown at me.
Clay is the top five funniest teammate that I've ever had, first of all.
I appreciate that.
You know, you got to know that he gets the jokes, but his jokes are like so underlined that you got to know Clay to know.
Well, he just like, he's subtle. He just like puts them out there and then you're like, oh yeah.
You got China Clay, you got Fro Clay now, you know, Curl Clay.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask you, Sean. I actually want to enlist your help. America needs your help because we have China Clay, and then this summer we got Cutter Clay.
Cutter Clay.
And you know, I need to know if, you know, so this is Cutter Clay, right, on the camel. Everyone remembers that.
That's that was a great day.
Right? But then you've also got, you know, China Clay. And China Clay, don't sleep on China Clay. Just because you've gotten used to China Clay, he's still a presence, you know?
Yeah.
So
China Clay is legendary. I mean, you can't top that.
Right, no.
Oh, man.
That's legendary.
I love China.
See, there you go.
There you go.
Don't sleep on Cutter, though. I really, really want to get out there for the World Cup.
And
I never thought I'd be riding camelback riding with T-Mac. You
know,
if you had told me that 10 years ago, I would have looked at you so crazy.
That one day you'll be wandering around the Middle East with Carmelo Anthony,
you know,
and Tracy McGrady and Luke Walton riding a camel.
Riding camels.
When they put you in the full ensemble there, how did you feel when you looked in the mirror?
I mean, I looked good, felt good, and it's nice to be able to, we're so lucky we are able to travel the world. I've learned you got to immerse yourself in the culture, whether it's in Qatar, China, Brazil, Europe, it doesn't matter. You got to be
Oakland.
It goes anywhere.
Yeah. You got to be
everywhere.
One with the people, a man of the people, and you will get life lessons that cannot be taught in no textbook. So that's what I've learned in my 8 years of being an NBA player.
Well, this summer, while you were gallivanting around the globe, I don't know if you heard, but the Warriors made a pretty big acquisition in Boogie Cousins. What has it been like having Boogie here with you guys?
It's great. I mean, he's just kind of like he injects some energy, you know. I think obviously he gets a bad rap just, you know, because he's so emotional on the court. But, you know, he's infectious in the locker room, his personality. I think he rubs off on the guys, and I think he's going to fit in well when he comes back.
Now, of course, you knew he was coming when he was coming because you answer your phone. Clay, management said that before the deal was official, they wanted to check with you guys. I mean, it's obviously you're bringing another all-star in here, a big presence. So they wanted to make sure it was okay with all the guys on the team and that they tried to find you and they called you and they texted you.
Mm-hmm. I know I'm hard to reach at times, especially in the summertime. You can't pinpoint me at that point. It's just kind of nice to disappear. We talked to you, Rachel, and the whole media for 10 months. It's kind of nice to just go off the grid a little bit. And I know DeMarcus for so long. It's like we got a little brotherhood going, playing with Team USA. So I knew the first day I'd see him, it would be like we haven't missed a beat. Even though when I did first see him, he was giving me a lot of flack for not reaching out to him. He was like, dang, bro, it's the first time I've talked to you. I'm like, we're going to be together for the next 9 months.
Was it media day the first time you guys spoke?
Yeah, it was.
What is it like to try to get him on the phone?
Clay Thompson. That's just Clay Thompson. You got to know your personnel.
You got to know.
KYP.
I mean, look, there's so much already attention. You guys haven't even started. You've not played game one of this season, and yet there's already so much discussion and attention on what is going to happen next summer. Part of that is Kevin Durant. He is only locked up. He signed a contract that was a one-on-one on purpose. So, you know, one-on-one on purpose. So he is only locked up through this season. There's a lot of attention on you because you're eligible to be free agent this coming season. But you said as recently as the beginning of training camp here, I'm content. You said most guys are looking for their free agency for what I've found here. Well, why do you feel so strongly about that?
It's because guys really, I mean, so many great players never had the opportunity just to even compete for a championship. And knowing that being able to go to four straight with a fifth, you know, you have a chance to go to a fifth, it's unprecedented. You know, I think the only other team to do that was the Celtics from the Bill Russell era Celtics. So that's what I mean when guys looking for a situation like mine. It's, you know, it's cool being able to be the franchise leader, you know, the focal point of the franchise. But I'm just so happy to be a part of this team. And I want to keep this train running for as long as I can. And we got such a great thing going. This is like a once in a decade type thing. That's why it'd be hard to replicate anywhere else.
I mean, it's interesting because you said this is what most guys want. This is what most guys are supposed to want, right? They're supposed to want a scenario. Are you going to come? Come on. You can come. You can come. It's okay. Kevin Durant's just going to walk in the middle of the interview. Right. You can answer questions.
See you later, bro. Yeah.
He's fine. It's all good. Yeah. It's what most guys are supposed to want, right? You're supposed to want the situation where the team and the culture and everyone's winning and obviously a championship. But it's not always what guys actually want, right? I mean, the personal stats and the adulation and the awards and all of that. It is important. What is it about being here that makes you want what you're supposed to want as opposed to what some of that little, like, voice on your shoulder might be saying?
I mean, winning. Yeah, you know, like, that obviously heals a lot. You got guys that fit, you know, off the court as well, personality-wise, and, you know, guys get along. I think it's a mix. Obviously, you got skilled players, all-star guys like Clay, and then you have guys that are just genuine who they are. They're allowed to be themselves on the court and off the court. And I think, you know, you see that chemistry, the way that we play together, the joy that we play with. And then obviously, you know, we're competitive as well. So, you know, we all want to win at the end of the day.
And people have you asking you questions too, Sean, and it's always going to be a salary jigsaw puzzle, right? So you're someone who has learned to live in the moment, I know, with your history and everything, but you feel so comfortable here, and I know you found a home here. How do you deal with the uncertainty of all that?
Yeah, I mean, just, again, being a part of it, knowing that, like Clay said, you know, teams don't go to the finals four straight years in a row. That doesn't happen. So, you know, again, enjoying the part right here, right now, staying in the moment, and whatever happens, you know, you just, you know, you leave it out of your control and just control what you can.
I want to talk about how rare it is. I was informed when I got here today that only 1.7% of NBA players have won three titles or more.
Dang.
That is a small
company.
Let's go.
Small percentage.
1.7. It's pretty good.
When you absorb that, like, what does that feel like to know that? Because you two guys, of course, Raymond Ritter, of course, PR guru here at the Warriors. To know that you're both in that category, what does that feel like?
I mean, it's amazing, honestly. You know, I think, again, when you're in it, you know, you're just kind of trying to enjoy it. But maybe looking back when we retire, I think we'll, you know, realize probably how special it really was and really appreciate it more. But right now, we're just, you know, we're in it.
So what is it with four rings? It's probably cut that in half?
It's interesting. I asked that same question, too. We got to go research it. Do you think I'm going to need to research
Raymond
it by the
Ritter.
End of this season?
I'm hoping, you know. I like to speak things into existence, so yes.
Okay. We're going to need to find out how many guys want four more. How do you feel looking at the West and just looking at, you know, LeBron is now in the conference and sort of, you know, things have shifted again. It's how do you feel looking at the landscape?
Well, previously it was no nights off, but now it's really no nights off. And that all-star team, that's going to be hard to make. There's so many great players in the West. It's just, like, it's going to be fun. I mean, the Pacific Division is tough. I mean, we got the Lakers. We're going to be really good again. A lot of hype surrounding them. Rockets obviously had us on the ropes last year, so they'll be strong again. And I go down the line, but I'm not even worried about the East yet because the West is because the West is so stacked, especially it's top heavy. But even 1 through 10, it's impressive. You know, they got, you know, all NBA talent from every team. Even the borderline playoff teams have guys who, you know, can win you games single-handedly.
You know, all the Lakers folk are already trying to recruit you for next. You're gonna just hold on to him through the season. You'll be fine. All right. We will be back in a minute. If you wait through the next commercial break, we will research the stat. We will find out how many guys have won four titles or more, what percentage of NBA players. But these are part of the 1.7% club right here. We'll let you know what they're looking, what they're going for after this commercial break. We'll be right back.
There it is. Clay Thompson, Sean Livingston, interviewed by Rachel Nichols on The Jump. Shout out them for the sound. It was pretty simple, funny stuff. I love that they asked Clay about his new look. I love the new look. I hope he keeps it. Lets the beard grow. Lets the hair grow. Just starts looking shaggy as hell. It was pretty funny. Also, the social media team for the Warriors did a little thing where they ask all the players, you know, what do you think of Clay's new look? And I'm going to play the audio for that right now.
I'm with it for sure.
I like it.
It's different. I'm not really feeling it, but, you know, to each his own.
I love Clay's new look.
I asked him today, when was he cutting it?
If I could have a beard, I would have one, too.
Covers his ugly face more.
He got to keep it.
I like when Klay just does like whatever Klay wants to do.
Klay got to keep it until he start missing shots, then he got to cut it.
You know, Klay's in his own world, so I don't think anybody's opinion really matters.
Can you tell us a little about your new look you got going on?
No.
I just love that so much at the end. I don't know. It's tough to tell through audio, but at the end, it's, you know, whoever's running the social media, like, hey, Klay, can you tell us about the look you got going on? And he just, nah. Classic Klay Thompson, man. That guy is, as you can tell, I have an affinity for him. He cracks me up. Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala had the best take. Sean said he's got to keep it till he starts missing shots. Then you shave it. And Andre said he likes when Klay does whatever what Klay wants to do. And I agree. It's hilarious. So I just had to throw that clip in there. Back to the Rachel Nichols interview with Klay and Sean. I just enjoy the fact that this organization, this team understands their place and climate of, you know, go back to the Seattle game where, you know, Steve Kerr's wearing the Sonics shirt and, you know, they go and see the Seahawks before the game and are hanging out with them. And KD comes out in the Sean Kemp jersey and, you know, shouting out the Storm on winning the championships. They just kind of understand the public part of what they're doing. And one thing I appreciate as, you know, a longtime Warriors fan is their respect for Oracle and this being the last season at Oracle and how they want to make it something special and all that other stuff. Because it, even though they are just moving 10 miles away to what is going to be a great, great arena, great place. It's going to be great for the players. Everything's going to be brand new, state of the art, all that stuff. You know, this team's been at Oracle for, what, 40 years, something like that? So it just, I just appreciate and enjoy that they're doing that, the way they're handling it. And, I mean, let's be real. Is there a better way to finish up Oracle than winning 4 out of the last 5 championships? I don't think so. So hopefully they can do that. If not, still be a pretty good damn way to finish 3 out of the last 5, whatever it would be. But on the jump, Rachel and Scottie Pippen also spent some time with Steve Kerr. They talked about his time on the Bulls with Scottie, and then they talk about this year's Warriors as well.
Welcome back to The Jump. We are live from Warriors training camp here in the Bay Area. Beautiful day. And, you know, before the break, we were talking with Klay and Sean Livingston about how many players have ever won at least 3 titles. It's about 2% of players who have ever played in the NBA. Well, Klay wanted to know how many have won 4. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, less than 1% of players who have ever been in the league have won 4 titles. One of those men joins us now here on The Jump, Coach Steve Kerr. 5 as a player, 3 rings as a coach. You're sitting next to 6 as a player. And during the break, we were talking about this, and the first question these guys ask, well, how many have won 5? Well, how many have won 4? 6. Everybody wants to know. I have the answer for you. 27 humans on Earth have won 5 championship rings as a player in the NBA, and 13 have won 6. There are 13 men in this world who have ever won 6 rings, and you are
pretty
one of
impressive.
Them. There you go. Boom. Also, by the way, when we were talking about records and percentages, Scotty was like, you can ask him about his 3-point percentage? Because this morning I said, you know, Steve still holds the record for 3-point percentage ever. And what did you say back to me?
I like to take a lot of credit for that. Every time I gave this guy a pass, and the clock was running down, and he was defending, he'll kick it back.
I'd throw it back to him. I didn't want to, you know, lower the percentage.
You knew where you could make your money, right? He could make his money all kinds of ways.
You know what's funny, though, is back then we didn't shoot a lot of threes compared to now. And I saw a stat last year. I think Steph made as many threes in the last 2 seasons as I made in 15 years. It was like 700 and something. But back then, I don't know, how many threes do you think we took as a team in Chicago?
Maybe I would think per during game? One game, probably 6 to 7. It wasn't a lot.
Right.
And, you know, the coaches thought it was a bad shot.
Yeah.
Unless Steve Kerr took it.
Well, usually it was wide open if I took it because people were guarding you and MJ. But the game's changed so much now. Everybody's looking to shoot threes, and the players are just practicing threes all summer
long.
Well,
I got to say, he might have volume. Steph Curry might have volume on you, but you've got to hit percentage over him. He's 4th in percentage. You're 1st, so you hold him on that. You didn't think we were going to get you on here and not talk about last night, though, right? Because last night, Steve Kerr was ejected from a preseason game Can you? And by the way, I love this quote here. I didn't want to be here anyway.
See you later.
Bye bye. Please explain yourself and talk to us about what happened, not only on the court, but then when you got back to the locker room afterward.
Well, first of all, I do want to be here with you guys right now.
Aww.
So I wanted to explain that.
But, that's so nice.
It was a strange game last night. You know, sometimes in the preseason we have these trends that the officials have to call, like points of emphasis.
Right.
And I think we had like six offensive fouls on screens. And this one made me mad because, you know, Ariza was like 20 feet behind the play. And I had just had enough. I just wasn't having a very good night. So I got what I deserved.
Yeah.
Do you recognize that, Steve Kerr? Was
no,
he like that
I,
when
I
you
don't
played
recognize
with him?
That, Steve. I mean, I've been watching him now since he's been coaching, and I'm seeing a different guy. He's breaking clipboards over there. He's slamming his butt.
Oh, come on. We found some video of him as a player. I think they're going to roll it here in a minute. He was not always calm and quiet. There were technicals. There were some, you know, a little bit of an edge there.
What's
right?
Oh yeah, I remember this one. Yeah. This was different though because I was a Blazer, and it was one of those things where, you know, when in Portland, you got to act like the rest of the Portland players. So some of the guys were rubbing off on me.
Well, Steve, I've actually seen a lot of this stuff rub off this season. Temperature flaring, ejections from last season.
Right, KD, right?
What have you done to try to change that culture for your team this year?
I think the biggest thing is we're trying to focus on how much fun this is, you know, barring my performance last night. You know, I thought last year, you know, I might have gone overboard in addressing the fatigue issue head on. You know, I told the guys, look, I've been there. I was there in Chicago with our team trying to, you know, get through three straight seasons.
There's some
sad the
clipboards there, by the way. Do they carry extra clipboards around for you?
Yes, they do. We always have two. I do that about once or twice a year. But this year we're trying to focus more on, you know, just enjoy it, have some fun. And you know, we've won three of the last four, and we've got a chance to win again. We've got great talent, continuity. Let's enjoy the process a little more. And, you know, I'm not going to say a whole lot about fatigue, and we're just going to go see what happens.
Well, what I loved is that even from the beginning of being here as a coach, you were always hearkening back, at least in the film sessions. You were like, Phil Jackson made those fun. I want to make those fun. But now I got both of you here, so I want to ask, what would Phil do with you guys in the film sessions that you're now trying to emulate here with the Warriors?
Well, we had a lot of film sessions. Phil was very unique in that he had a very intense interest in Native American history.
Right.
Where he grew up in South Dakota, was near some Indian reservations. And so I remember, and you can jump in here, Scotty, but I remember when we would lose a couple games, he'd burn incense in our film room to try to get rid of
the sage.
Yeah, burn the sage. And we were wondering if, you know, maybe he was burning something else too. I don't know.
Yeah, we had a few days we'd walk in and we would look at each other.
What's going on back here?
I think Phil's approach really was to try to motivate us to do something during the regular season that he felt would keep us interested. And whether it was sitting down with me as an individual and say, look, I'd like for you to be a first team defender this year. Or he would say, look, I think this is a great opportunity for our team to do well as a defensive team. I think you can spearhead that. So there were little motivational things that kept us going. And I wanted to ask Steve, like, what are some of the things that you think that you can do for your team to motivate them throughout this season?
Well, I think one thing that Phil did and that Pop did in San Antonio was they mixed it up a lot. You know, practice wasn't the same thing every day. They would completely throw a curveball at you. You remember in New York during the playoffs, one day we were supposed to go to practice, and Phil took us to the Staten Island Ferry. It's a beautiful day, and instead of practicing, we got on the ferry and just, you know, went out and cruising
Can
around.
Can you imagine if you were on the Staten Island Ferry that day?
Pretty sure we rented it out.
Oh, okay. there's Michael and Scotty and Steve Kerr. Be all good. Please stick around. We got a quick commercial break.
That is right, Rachel. We do have a quick commercial break coming up, but another good interview. I mean, just Steve Kerr, he's the best. He's the best. Him and Scotty, you know, good reminiscing, Steve, on this year and just how he tries to keep things fresh and the team locked in and motivated and things of that nature. So it just another solid talk with Steve. I could listen to him all day, honestly. We're going to take a quick break, go over tonight's game, and maybe a little Jimmy Butler drama coming up next on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just finished up playing a couple interviews from The Jump when they spent the day at Oracle with the Warriors, or I guess not Oracle, at their training facility. But good stuff. Wanted to go over tonight's game against the Lakers. I've seen a lot of articles being written, like, now that LeBron's in L.A., we finally have a Lakers-Warriors rivalry. No, we do not, dude. Just because LeBron's there does not make it a rivalry. If the Lakers are good and they go head-to-head and this and that and, you know, meet up in the playoffs, sure, rivalry, for sure. But I could be completely wrong. I don't see the Lakers being much more than a 6-7 seed at best, unless they make some moves between now and, you know, the trade deadline. I just don't see it. So it's not a rivalry. It's a rivalry like it was with the Clippers after the Warriors beat them 10 times in a row, which was not a rivalry. I just don't get it. We're just begging for storylines, which we don't need to do because we have plenty of them. So anyways, game tonight against the Lakers, same thing as before, you know. Look, how does Damian Jones do? Can he kind of clean up some of his defensive mind lapses that he had last game? The fringe guys, Derek House, Marcus Derrickson, Jacob Evans. You know, I've talked about Daniel House and Marcus Derrickson and Alphonso McKinney as guys that could potentially take Pat McCaw's roster spot. But Jacob Evans is in the lead to take Pat McCaw's rotation spot, mostly because he has a guaranteed contract and we know he's going to be on the team. Now, what does that mean exactly for how he plays? I don't know. I'd like to see more out of him. You know, we'll see what happens. As far as who's in, who's out, Draymond is out tonight. I think Sean Livingston is sitting this one out. Besides that, everyone else is going to play. So I would kind of imagine that Friday's game is going to be pretty light on starters. I think a lot of people will rest on Friday, but, you know, I've been plenty wrong about this stuff before, so who knows. But, yeah, it's all just kind of the same stuff as the last preseason game, so I don't want to bore you with, you know, more of the same of what we're looking for. It's Damian Jones, Daniel House, Marcus Derrickson, Alphonso McKinney, Kendrick Nunn a little bit, but, you know, like I said, he's not – unless he really kills it, unless he puts up, you know, a 60-point game, he's not going to make the roster just because they need wings. So, yeah, enjoy it. Keep an eye out. Real quick, Jimmy Butler returned to T-Wolves practice today and acted a fool, made a scene, was cussing everyone out. Amin Al-Hassan reported that he played with the third stringers and beat all the first stringers and was calling out the GM and Tibbs and, you know, every player on the court, and just, it's so funny to me that we enjoy this so much in the NBA, and, like, we laugh and have a good time with it. If this happened in the NFL, oh, boy, there would be the pitchforks, the tiki torches would be out, so to speak, you guys. But that's why the NBA is the best, because we can enjoy this stuff and have fun with it. But also, throughout all this, I have to imagine Jimmy Butler can't be the easiest person to deal with, slash play with, slash coach. He's definitely the best player there. So I don't know if he gets a break, so to speak, but it's not just one-sided. It's not, you know, Jimmy Butler isn't the perfect angel and, you know, the T-Wolves are idiots. The T-Wolves are dumb, but Jimmy Butler's not the perfect angel. But again, he's the best player they have, and it seems like a lot of the drama is the fact that, I don't know, some guys aren't as dedicated as him or something like that. I don't know. It's still just weird. I still don't really understand it completely. But I do understand that it's been rather entertaining and fun. And he's going to break his silence on ESPN tonight. So that will also be interesting. So check that out. Check out the Warriors tonight. Keep checking out Locked On Warriors because I'm going to be back every day, I think, as much as I can. But I will be back tomorrow. Probably break down tonight's game. Hopefully we get some good stuff out of it. Maybe we'll get a Jimmy Butler trade tonight. Who the hell knows? All that coming the rest of this week. Thank you guys for listening. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.